13, channel 16, audio 7.70.
Day one, God's smile gave us all the wisdom of a newborn child. But by the time we take our first step, we've already begun to forget what the heart knows. The heart sees we're just as much a forest as we are the trees. Every little seed trying to find where the light comes from. It's a world of hurt, nothing works. It's a lonely little planet made of dust and dirt. Who'd ever think that in the midst of all this, something as beautiful as love exists? Baby, I hold you, and you hold me, and heaven doesn't seem like such a mystery. In a world of hurt, you make me feel so good.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of American Exposé as we expose this world of hurt, the globalist plan to enslave us all, the undermining of our national sovereignty and our individual liberty. Good to have you with us on this 25th of July, 2005, as we move along in summer. And it's been very hot here in southern Michigan, as it is in many places across the country. I know in Arizona they've had triple-digit temperatures, probably other states as well. As this whole thing moves forward, it's generally pretty hot in the summertime. This summer is apparently one of the hottest in a long time. I guess record temperatures have been reached this summer. And, of course, this helps to facilitate the goal of getting us into backdoor Kyoto. This helps to facilitate the controllers' arguments that we're experiencing global warming and we human beings are causing it. And there's no shortage of Hegelian dialectic situations that we have going on today. And if you're a new listener, we have a Hegelian dialectic section on the sweetliberty.org website for those who want to do the research and learn what's going on. And I got a feeling you wouldn't be listening if you didn't want to know what was going on. But the Hegelian dialectic is the means by which all change happens today, and it is the way that the controllers use to manipulate masses of people to condition their minds to accept change that they wouldn't ordinarily accept. Everything that we live today is a lie. Everything that we live today is an orchestration by the hierarchy of global governance to get us further into a system of global communism. And that's the reality that we have today. Most Americans, most people believe and have been told that communism died, that communism is dead, that the threat of communism is no longer a reality. Now today, the real threat today is terrorism. That is what we've been told and led to believe, that that is what the threat is today. Communism is no longer a threat. The Soviet Union tumbled during the Reagan years. Mikhail Gorbachev is now a good guy. Red China, well, they're just a trading partner and a competitor that we need to stay equal with, but they're not really a threat. Nothing could be further from the truth, of course. Communism is alive and well. We have the Soviet Union being rebuilt under Vladimir Putin. And the police state tactics here in America are just unbelievably remarkable. How advanced that they've been able to pull this plan off, and they've been able to pull the wool over the eyes of the average American. what do I say here, ladies and gentlemen? That we haven't said before, and that's the problem, is we say it over and over again, and we feel like a broken record when we do it, and yet we have to keep doing it. We have to keep telling folks where the manipulation is. If you'd like to call in tonight, your phone calls are certainly welcome. 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773. 559-3773. Once again, 559-781-3773. I encourage all of you to support this network, First Amendment Radio. The website to do so is firstamendmentradio.com, as they've supported us tirelessly, and we need to support them as well. firstamendmentradio.com, and I appreciate those of you who have done that in the past, and we encourage you to do it again. Also, I salute all of our micro-broadcasters, Sam and Trish. I know Jimmy rebroadcasts, and I don't know what his location is, but I appreciate him doing that. And there's others as well. WXEI in Crestview, they rebroadcast it. So to those who do, I appreciate you, and thank you for what you do. Thank you for your courage at getting the truth out to your local communities. Doing some research, I have discovered on another website, the World Conference for Disaster Management took place, apparently July 10th through the 13th. The 15th World Conference on Disaster Management, for those who want to do reading on this subject, their website is www.wcdm.org. WCDM.org. The 15th World Conference on Disaster Management. It took place in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, at the Metro Toronto Convention Center South Building. And they say here in their website, the changing face of disaster management. In quotation marks, their motto is apparently defining the new normal. So apparently now the new normal, according to these people, is the reality that we have these disasters going on around the world. This past week, we saw that I guess it was in Asia that they had another tsunami warning, a big giant earthquake. It was over a 7 mag earthquake that took place over there, and they had tsunami warnings. An area where it's already been wiped out. Just utterly wiped out, utterly devastated by the tsunami that took place on December 26th of last year. And now they're being terrorized once again with these threats. Is the tsunami bomb being used for these earthquakes? They had the technology. They were developing it a half a century ago to create the tsunami. Is this another Hegelian situation? And the problem is we can't get to the bottom of a lot of this. How do we get to the bottom of global warming? When we have weather modification going on all across the country, all around the world, we have jets spraying stuff in the skies that we can't understand or know what this stuff is that they're spraying. This goes on. I pointed it out to my mother-in-law once as I came home from work in the morning. And I said, look at that. Look what's going on in the sky there. And they had taken a very clear day, a day where it was absolutely no clouds in the sky whatsoever, and they had had these jets going back and forth spraying stuff, and literally these trails of whatever it was that they were spraying were getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they filled up the whole sky. And by the time they were done, as we were watching this, they took a clear day and made it overcast. Is it weather modification, or are they spraying something else? And Chris Gerner has theorized about these endangered species, because we've never had more endangered species than we do today. These endangered species, could they be being created by whatever's being sprayed from the aircraft? Endangered species, like the spotted owl, and now we have the ivory-billed woodpecker that apparently has made its, according to what they say anyway, has made a reappearance. All of these things that are going on are being used to take away our private property rights, to restrict what we can do on our land, and all of this stuff, well, a good majority of it anyway, is orchestrated. And we know that to be the facts. We know that to be the truth. But if you don't believe me, you don't agree with me, call in. 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773. But this conference on disaster management, World Conference on Disaster Management, that took place this month, It says, when the unthinkable happens, they turn to you. Where can you turn to learn how to think through the unthinkable? As professionals in the area of disaster and emergency management, our perspective on the Asian tsunami tragedy is unique. As the world reacts, we understand as never before the importance of investing in disaster prevention and mitigation and having the professionals, the plans, and the processes in place that can ensure the rapid and effective delivery of solutions in emergency or disaster situations. A review of the headlines from the past year alone reminds us that a crisis can strike in the workplace, at home, or abroad. The 15th World Conference on Disaster Management will gather experts from across the globe in order to listen and learn, plan and prepare, educate and exchange on the lessons to be learned from all disciplines of disaster and emergency management. The conference is unique in that it brings professionals from the following fields together under one roof: emergency response and management, emergency medicine and public health, business continuity planning, risk management, security, safety, IT disaster recovery, emergency communications, HR, and I assume that's human resources because we're all being called a resource now. What's a resource, folks, but something you use up and throw away, like oil or water, which is recycled, but they say there's a shortage of that too. But human resources, senior management, community planning, disaster relief and assistance, environmental slash hazardous materials. With the conference theme of changing the changing face of disaster management, defining the new normal, we are asking our partners to challenge the delegates with some controversial ideas and out-of-the-box thinking. We keep hearing the term the new normal, but what exactly does this mean? If you work in or have an interest in any of these rapidly changing fields, this conference is a must. This is your unique opportunity to develop and nurture ongoing relationships with a roster of international experts and your peers from every field of disaster management. More than 1,500 delegates from over 40 countries will attend the 15th WCDM. They say... Now, I could continue on this page, but I want to click through here and show you what the roster is, or was, some of the subjects that they address. The first one is controlling the news media in a crisis. Controlling the News Media in a Crisis by Bill Patterson. Bill Patterson is the founder of Reputation Management Associates, and Anthony Huey, the president and CEO of Reputation Management Associates. And now, the description of the course is 30 years of work destroyed in 30 seconds. That's what can happen if your organization mismanages communication during a disaster situation. Somewhere within every organization, a crisis is just waiting to happen. And you better believe it, folks, when you have people in that organization that are making crises happen, then of course there's not going to be a shortage of crises. Before you say it can't happen to you, take a look at today's headlines. You can't predict when it might happen, but you can be sure that a crisis will put your organization's hard-earned image and reputation up for grabs. Every news media crisis is unique, and no one plan can foresee all of the nuances of each scenario. But we will arm you with the background you need to take control of the media in a crisis. And that's a promise, they say. Controlling the media in a crisis is the first thing. Secondly, they talk about developing a comprehensive risk assessment, the disaster experience, a tabletop exercise. Managing the new normal is the fourth subject. Incident management system, a holistic management system, simplified and coordinated risk assessments, demystifying the identification of enterprise security vulnerabilities, effective employee communication in times of crisis, building a business continuity culture using a scenario workshops to educate and train, understanding satellite communications for disaster recovery, and on and on and on and on it goes. The point here, ladies and gentlemen, is control. That's what it's all about, control. Using disaster to manipulate you into accepting the agenda. Now, this place that they're putting on is called this Canadian Center for Emergency Preparedness. And the reason I spent some time on this is because I think it's important for you to understand their perspective, and more can be garnered from this website at www.wcdm.org. WCDM.org. Speaking of disasters, we have, of course, the orchestrated London attacks. And from the New York Times, we see from July 25th, which is today, 2005, suicide bombings bring urgency to police in the U.S. Dateline Seattle, it says, inside a former Starbucks warehouse, the city's bomb squad headquarters, the police chief and 15 captains and sergeants, accompanied by a robot that can extract explosives from packages and pin down a suspect, huddled the other day to tackle a topic suddenly urgent to the police across the nation. Suicide bombers. Now, isn't that interesting that they're talking about suicide bombers coming to the United States? Is this something that they have planned for us in the future? That's the question that I have. As we know, those who've been listening for a long time or those who have done their own research, you know who the real terrorists are. Gil Kerlikowski, pardon me, I'm sure I butchered that name. This is the chief. He says, now it's really time. He told his commanders, it almost seems to be a question of when in this country, not a question of if, after London. Across the country, police departments, large and small, are preparing for a possibility once thought improbable and now feared to be inevitable. On Thursday, the day of four attempted explosions in the London subways, the New York City police began randomly searching bags and backpacks at subway stations and other travel hubs. In Miami, the police chief returned recently from a conference in England and Scotland that included a long session on suicide bombers. Several officers with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department returned last Thursday after spending a week with the British authorities studying terrorism responses, department officials there said. A growing number of police departments, including ones in Seattle, Boston, Los Angeles, Washington, Suffolk County, New York, and Sterling Heights, Michigan, a small city north of Detroit, are also turning for guidance to the place many police officials consider the pinnacle of terrorism training. They are sending groups of officers to Israel and bringing Israeli officers to the United States to train the police on the harrowing science of suicide bomber intelligence gathering and apprehension. Several American police officials and advice from the Israelis had included looking out for suicide bomber handlers who scout bus stations or other crowded areas for deadly attacks. And although the police are typically told to aim for the chest when shooting because it is the largest target, the Israelis are teaching officers to aim for a suspect's head so as not to detonate any explosives that might be strapped to his torso. But the growing relationship between Israeli and the United States law enforcement, expanding now after the London bombings, has prompted criticism among some Muslim groups who say they fear that American police officers will engage in religious or ethnic profiling. Some officials talk about receiving reports from the public about what the police referred to as MEWC's Middle Eastern with a camera, perhaps taking pictures of a bridge, a hydropower plant, or a reservoir. Oh, man. All of this, by the way, the United States and Israel working together to supposedly fight terrorism. After I covered Friday on this broadcast about how Israel, a former Israeli Mossad chief, is calling for World War III in answer to the London bombings. Ibrahim Hooper, a spokesman for the Council on American-Islamic Relations, based in Washington, said, quote, Israel's anti-terror tactics are largely based on profiling, whether it's on airlines or at checkpoints. And they've produced tremendous resentment and hostility in the Palestinian population through humiliating tactics and through abuses on a daily basis. And I don't think that's something we want to replicate, unquote. So the debate goes on, back and forth. But there has been terrorism orchestrated by Israel on the United States in the past. We're being manipulated into these directions of control. Now, I have another piece here, July 22nd. Boy sends bomb threat to protest bank service. This is in Warsaw. This is a Reuters article. It says a 10-year-old boy caused havoc at a bank in southern Poland when he dropped a fake bomb threat into a deposit box, apparently as a protest after his mother received slow service, police said Thursday. Well, the question is, are all these children being conditioned by the media as terrorism is constantly in the news? What would give him the idea to do that? Moving along here, as we cover news information. China is facing an epidemic of suicide and depression. What a surprise. I thought communism was nice to live under. Not really. Dateline Beijing from Reuters. Suicide is the number one cause of death among people aged 20 to 35 in China, where an estimated 250,000 people each year, or 685 a day, take their lives, state media said Monday. Each year, an additional 2.5 million to 3.5 million Chinese unsuccessfully attempt suicide, which stood as the fifth major cause of death among the country's 1.3 billion people, the China Daily said. Disproportionate rates of suicide and depression among young people appear to be a direct result of increasing stress in China's rapidly changing society. Quote, society is full of pressure and competition, so young people lacking experience in dealing with difficulties tend to get depressed, unquote. That was a psychiatrist in Beijing. More than 60% of people who took part in a survey of 15,431 Chinese suffering depression over the past 2 years were in their 20s or 30s, the newspaper said. The escalating problem had drawn increasing concern from the government and public alike, leading to the creation of a national 24-hour free suicide prevention hotline in August of 2003. And they go on to say that the suicide hotline received so many calls that only 1 in 10 callers could get through. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're being told that China is just a trading partner. We're being told that they're a competitor. But yet, they're our most favored nation trading partner. Why are we building up this country of China so that they can turn around and rebuild their military? Things are going... We have Costco ports all across the country. We have the China Ocean Shipping Company calling on American seaports every single day. And we have our military largely out of this country. Why are we closing our military bases in this country, ladies and gentlemen? Why are we closing military bases here and opening military bases in Asia and other places, in the Middle East? For what reason would we do that? For what reason would our leaders do this? If we don't have people in power that have our worst interest in mind, that don't have our best interest in mind, that are setting this country up for a huge fall. And that's the situation that we have, as the current communist goals of 1963, which have been referred to repeatedly by many, the congressional record, January 10th, 1963, current communist goals, it says, number one, U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Number two, U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. Number three, develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. To that end, we have the State Department Publication 7277, Public Law 87-297, the Arms Control and Disarmament Act, the writing is on the wall about how they're setting us up for a fall, ladies and gentlemen. Develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. What it's a demonstration of is foolery. A country that can't defend itself is a country that is doomed and destined to fall. Yet our military is being used by the United Nations around the world for various so-called peacekeeping efforts, nation-building, and so-called spreading democracy. Number four, permit free trade among between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation, and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. And that's the point. That's what we have going on with China today. We have our trade enriching that country while it's impoverishing this country. We have the North American Free Trade Agreement, which largely is responsible for our porous borders. How many people do we have from communist China in this country already? We don't know. We have no idea. They've admitted that terrorists might be coming through our borders, yet they do nothing to secure those same borders. And they continue to send our military in over 130 countries around the world. The BRAC, the Base Realignment and Closure Program, goes forward. What are these military bases being used for? Well, according to Roger Canfield, some of them are being used for these crate containers. In his book, China's Trojan Horses, Roger Canfield writes, to improve port facilities in large measure for the China trade, the vast majority of the business and political leaders of America's major port cities are investing billions of dollars. They are using both tax revenues and private funds to build new port structures and to convert former U.S. military bases to container ports for the Chinese and others. To convert former U.S. military bases to container ports for the Chinese and others. He says whether it is Los Angeles, Long Beach, Oakland, Portland, Seattle, New Orleans, Houston, Miami, Savannah, Charleston, Norfolk, New York, or Boston, the port investment story is almost always the same, and the Chinese are always welcome. He says, surely wise investments in the infrastructure of world trade will increase the wealth of the nation. Well, it certainly will increase the wealth of China, won't it? As it has. Is this wealth gained at the expense of national security and freedom? Unfortunately, there is no evidence that locally run seaports take much interest in national security. What is inside millions of 20-foot cargo containers, he asks. What are the risks? What are the risks of Chinese ships commingling with U.S. warships in every major U.S. seaport and waterway? Nobody asks. Nobody knows. This despite the terrorist attack on the USS Cole. This despite a Washington Times story about the secret July 2000 CIA report on Russian merchant ships' intelligence collection efforts against U.S. nuclear submarine bases. The Bush administration has initially shown only a vague inkling of possible dangers. And ladies and gentlemen, we have that information about the Bush administration in bed with the communist Chinese as far as the buyout of the Unocal Corporation. I covered that on Friday. So we have in our government communists that are manipulating us and controlling the media. And the American public are sleeping on, completely oblivious to the danger. And it's unfortunate. We have to take a break here. We're going to continue this on the other side. Your phone calls are welcome. 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773. We'll be back in a moment.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War and the Right of Secession from the Old Paths Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Imagine that this is your daughter.
What do you want?
Now you get to decide how this scene ends. Or...
Stop, Earl!
Some misinformed people want to take away your daughter's choice between rape and self-defense. We're pro-choice on self-defense. Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. JPFO.org.
To the broadcast, American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks. 559-781-3773 if you'd like to participate tonight. 559-781-3773. Always happy to hear from you out there. The website for American Exposé is www.americanexposé.com. American spelled with a K, not a C. Or stopagenda21.com. Stopagenda21.com. For those who have not been listening, new listeners, Agenda 21 is the agenda, the United Nations agenda for the 21st century. It is the means by which all population, all life, both human and non-human, can be arranged and organized on the planet. This is their desire to take away our private property rights, and that's the reason why our private property rights are being taken away under the guise of protecting the environment, protecting the ecosystem, and, well, all that goes along with it. A lot to learn as far as Agenda 21 is concerned, and also communitarianism, which is what I call community communism. They've just changed the name and reorganized it and tweaked it a little bit, but they're still trying to build their socialist utopia around the world. And that's why we all have to be aware of what they're doing so that we can counter it in our own communities. This is the only place really that I can see that we can fight this thing, is on a local level. Because for too long, this has been going on at a national level, unbeknownst to any of us. Well, there are a few that have been aware of it, but I have not been aware of this information my whole life. And many people, the vast majority of people, live from cradle to grave and don't even are not even really aware that there is a conspiracy like this. In fact, they've been conditioned to believe that those of us who talk about it are conspiracy theorists or kooks. So at any rate, that's why it's important to open our minds, and it's important to have documentation on hand when we talk to others about this stuff, because they will listen to you if you can prove what you say. I've seen more than one jaw drop open as I mentioned something to someone and they expressed doubt that I was telling the truth, and I turn around and go to the internet and pull it up right from the source, right from the horse's mouth. The look is priceless. It's just like a deer in the headlights. So it's very enjoyable waking people up. I've had a lot of people also tell me, as I go and evangelize for the truth, I've had them tell me that, hey, you know, they're covering this on the news, and you talked about that several months ago, or you talked about that a year ago. Well, that's what it's all about, and that's why you listen to this network, ladies and gentlemen, is so that you can get it first. As they have a slogan, years ahead of the dominant media, and many times that's the case because the media will only report it when it's already too late to do anything about it, or when it becomes so obvious that they feel like they have to. So the point is, I want to know this information while I have a chance to do something about it. Now, Bernadine Smith, talking about the globalist plan to disarm America, she writes, and this is from sweetliberty.org, she says, if someday your children or grandchildren ask you how liberty died in America and what happened that caused the demise of the nation, understand this and you will be able to answer them. If they ask you why the citizens have been disarmed, you'll know. If you want to know why, go to your local library, no matter where you live in the United States. And now you don't even have to do that, folks. You can do it right on the internet. She says, tell the librarian to show you where the United States code books are shelved. There are 25 books in the set. They are reddish-brown in color. They are printed by the government printing office in Washington, D.C. These hardcover books are printed every 8 to 10 years. They are updated with annual softback supplements each year until a new hardcover issue comes out. At the present time, she says, the 1988 hardbacks are on the library shelf. So this must have been written in the late 80s. She says, open volume 9. The page numbers are in the center near the middle binding. The section numbers are along the edges. She says, turn to page 651. Here you will find Public Law 87-297, which calls for the United States to eliminate its armed forces. This law was signed for the United States in 1961. John F. Kennedy signed it, and every president since has worked to enact its provisions. The government knows you will not approve, which is why they want to take away your firearms. Now, you can go to Title 22. I hope you folks get a piece of paper and write this down, or otherwise pull this up yourself. Title 22 of the United States Code, Section 2551. Again, 22 U.S.C. Section 2551. Now she says, turn to page 652. Here you will find the definition of what the government means by disarmament. The disarmament calls for the elimination of our armed forces. It also calls for the elimination of weapons of all kinds. That is located at 22 U.S.C. 2552. Again, Title 22, United States Code, Section 2552. Now she says, turn to page 654. Here you will find it stated as item A, quote, control, reduction, and elimination of armed forces. And as item D, quote, elimination of armed forces. Again. She says, what you need to know is that your armed forces are being eliminated and relinquished from national control, which in turn wipes out our sovereignty as a nation. In two stages, we will have no more army, no more navy, no more Air Force. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, is this the reason we have base realignment and closure? Is this the reason why our military bases are being converted into areas where packages and crate containers coming in from communist China are being stored, according to Roger Canfield? In the third stage, we shall have a, quote, zero military. Before stage one closes, all citizen-owned guns are to be banned, she says. And the reference for this, Title 22, United States Code, Section 2571. Again, 22 U.S.C. Section 2571. Now, she continues. She says, Public Law 87-297 is further explained in the State Department document called Publication 7277. Your librarian can also furnish you a copy. Also, ask for the librarian to get you a copy of the Blueprint for the Peace Race. Blueprint for the Peace Race. I've not done a search engine search on that, but you might want to try doing that, those of you who are researchers, which I hope is everybody in the audience. The Blueprint for the Peace Race. It is a 35-page booklet, she says, printed by the United States Armed Control and Disarmament Agency as publication number 4, General Series 3, released May of 1962. Publication number 4 is the unabridged version of the State Department document 7277. Both of these booklets explain how our military is to be reduced to a 2.1 to 2.1 million men. China and the Soviets are to be reduced to that level also. At this point, we are at stage 1, at which time we are to transfer on a permanent basis one-half of our armed forces to be merged with the Russian and Chinese army. In stage 2, the remaining one-half of our armed forces is then turned over to the same security to the same Security Council of the United Nations. The person in charge of this of the merged armies must, by agreement, always be a Russian. The world's smaller nations turn 100% of their armies over to the same Undersecretary of the Security Council. In stage 2, President George Bush and Admiral William J. Crowe have referred to this process as being in transition. Next, she says, turn to page 655 in the law book. On this page, in volume 9, which is Title 22, Section 2573, Title 22, U.S.C., Section 2573, she says, on this page in Volume 9 of the United States Code, she says, you can read policy formation. The directives there, written in 1963, which incidentally happens to be the same year that we have the current communist goals in Congress, written in 1963 to pacify objectors, are supposedly to restrain anyone from disarmament, reducing or limiting our armaments or taking away guns from the people unless it is pursuant to the treaty-making power of the president or if it is authorized by further legislation by the Congress. Every couple of years, the House of Representatives votes to appropriate funds for this ongoing program, she says. Since Public Law 87-297 was first passed into law in 1961, there have been 18 updates to it. Now, of course, this is old information. This was written in the 80s. She says, but all of these updates were bad. With no deletions of these issues, I lay before you now. The Congress knows that the plan includes the policing of the United States by foreign troops. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? The Congress knows that the plan includes the policing of the United States by foreign troops. What do we have today but a border that's porous? We have people coming in here. We have China Ocean Shipping Company delivering crate containers, and they're being stored at our military bases, according to Roger Canfield, which I've read to you in the first half hour. Do we have a takeover going on in this country right beneath the radar of most Americans today? That's the question you have to ask. If anybody's got an answer, anybody doubts it, 559-781-3773. It looks to me to be obvious what's going on here, that we are being set up. We are being set up for a major fall in this country. She says the world army they are forming in Europe will be, I guess she's saying that they'll be a part of this policing. Congress is allowing our military bases to be closed down, and this continues today, except for those that will be used by the World Army, Bernadine Smith says. You will find that plan in Publication 7277 and in the Blueprint for the Peace Race. If the President and Congress can promote a constitutional convention, you will find yourself with two new constitutions, communist in structure, which in one states in Article 8, Section 12, that, quote, no person shall bear arms or possess lethal weapons except the police and members of the armed forces, unquote. The Congress has praised these documents and is on record in Senate hearings seeking ways to install these constitutions. Ask your librarian for revision, a document titled Revision of the United Nations Charter, hearings before a subcommittee, Foreign Relations, February 2nd through the 20th, 1950, U.S. Government Printing Office. Be very interesting to do some research on this. Maybe I'll do that tonight after the broadcast. If others of you can as well, and you can send us the results of your research. We're always willing to hear from people who have good information. She says, nothing has ever changed since. They are still viable. The ultimate goal to be reached in stage three of the disarmament process is to, quote, proceed to a point where no state, and state being nation, would have the military power to challenge the progressively strengthened UN peace force, unquote. Anyone who doubts the truthfulness of what has been presented here is free to go to the library, but see, again, she refers you to the library, but ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to do that anymore. In other links at AmericanExpose.com, you can go there, and we have the link there to the United States Code and other places where you can go and look up the law. Also, there's a website that I use a lot of times called findlaw.com, and you can go there and look it up. We don't even have to leave the comfort of our own homes to do this research anymore. And that's the beauty of it all. They presented the internet to us to control us, to spy on us, but we're presently able to use it against them. But the works are being put into place to take control of the internet by the United Nations, and no telling what's going to happen when that happens. She says, while you're doing your research, look up Public Law 101-216. Public Law 101-216. She says, she gives a web address here for State Department Publication 7277. And she says, if in the future years your children or grandchildren ask why you allowed their freedom to slip through your fingers, no one who has been exposed to this material will be able to say, if I had only known. She says, now that you have read this, you know. The question is, what are you going to do about it? And that's the point. A lot of things going on here, ladies and gentlemen. All of us have the responsibility. Since we know what's going on, we're exposed to this information, we're well-versed in doing research. I think the vast majority of you do research. And I appreciate you folks. I appreciate you for listening and doing what you can to get this information out. But we all share in this burden because there's so few of us, we have to stay active. Now, Joan Vion, who attends various UN conferences, writes about the global currency to manage the world monetary system. The Bank for International Settlements is calling for this. She says, the Bank for International Settlements released their 75th annual report on June 27th to commemorate its founding in 1930. Most countries today have a central bank, which is a private corporation that handles its monetary system. Bi-monthly, central bank ministers from 40 countries meet at the BIS to review ways to, quote, promote the cooperation of central banks and to provide additional facilities for international financial operations, unquote. Once a year, the world's central bankers meet in Basel to take a closer look at the status of the world's central banking system. Besides the annual review, the year's report considered the need for new mechanisms to keep the financial system more in balance. The BIS report highlighted the uneven global expansion that they see. While world output expanded by 5% in 2004, the highest rate in nearly 30 years, they said its growth showed a new uneven economic expansion. Although the United States is an engine of growth, they noted that the key Asian economies as being at the second pole of the global dynamism, while slower growth can be seen in other larger advanced economies. The U.S. and China accounted for nearly 50% of the world's increase in global output, with the global economy growing at 4% in 2005, in spite of oil prices which are projected to remain high for a prolonged period of time. The BIS is at the apex of the global financial system that they write about. It was birthed in 1944 when the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank were set up. Should we dare to mention that its founders were Harry Dexter White, who worked at the Treasury Department and who was a communist spy, along with John Maynard Keynes, a Fabian socialist? Keynesian economics is at the heart of the reason for all levels of government being broke. In 1971, President Richard Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard, which forced all the other countries of the world to follow suit, thus changing the global monetary system from one of fixed currencies to one of floating currencies. When a currency is no longer backed by gold, it is then possible to play all kinds of games with its value. By buying or selling a large quantity of one particular currency, an economically powerful individual or bank can literally move the market in their favor by buying low and selling high. The new patterns of booms and busts, which the BIS referred to, are not only man-made as a result of the floating currency, but highs and lows have been exacerbated by the fact that the barriers between the nation states are gone. The ability to buy and sell currency on a global basis was seen in the Asian crisis. For the countries that refuse to open their markets to the World Trade Financial Services Agreement, their currencies were crashed. Furthermore, the highs and lows of a country's stock market is the result of the respective central bank buying and selling the country's treasury bills. For example, when the Federal Reserve adds money to our banking system, interest rates drop and the stock market rises. Since the NASDAQ crash, interest rates in the U.S. have fallen to 45-year lows, stimulating both the prices of real estate to historic highs, and the stock market. The BIS annual report cited three such cycles of highs and lows. The first began in the 1970s when the dollar was taken off the gold standard. Mr. White told News with Views that the change in the gold standard was very important in world affairs. The second cycle began in the mid-1980s, ending in a property bust. And the current cycle began in the mid-1990s. All Americans, now listen to this, folks, she says, all Americans should be concerned about this report, for the world's bankers are signaling the end of the third cycle, which can only end with higher interest rates as money is taken out of the market. Will we have another property bust, as seen in the mid-1980s, or will we have a repeat of the NASDAQ? Interestingly enough, the BIS cited household debt being at historic highs. In a way they created it, of course, buyers would seize the property to trade up their homes, to trade up their home for a bigger one, since they can afford more because of lower interest rates. As a result, Spain, the UK, France, the US, and the Nordic countries have had huge increases in property values, with household debt to income ratios at unprecedented highs. Furthermore, household saving is not evident in the U.S. to the same extent that it is in the Asian countries. World national savings rose to 25% of gross domestic product, or about 1% point more than the annual average for the current decade. This was due to higher savings habits in the developed world, and in particular China, where savings rose to 48%. High debt-to-income ratios and low savings in the U.S. do not bode well for Americans. The BIS annual report notated some, quote, disturbing patterns of uneven growth worldwide, unquote. While the U.S. and China accounted for half of the world's growth, the Euro area and Japan have much slower growth. They write that the prospect of reducing America's fiscal deficit is not encouraging. Citing concerns over disinflation, the BIS stressed the need for interest rates to rise in order to slow consumer spending. The bank's economic advisor, William White, explained, quote, the time has come for a measured withdrawal of the stimulus that has been put into the economic system, unquote. What Mr. White is saying is that it is time for the Fed to withdraw money from the banking system that created low interest rates and corresponding high property values and a high stock market. With the Federal Reserve's ninth interest rate increase, we can see that the stated direction of the economic cycle. Lastly, the report stated that the, quote, underlying issue seems to be that we no longer have a system that somehow forces countries to alter their domestic absorption and associated exchange rates so as to reduce external imbalances in an orderly way, unquote. It should be noted that the floating exchange rate, with a floating exchange rate, there are no ways for any kind of adjustment like there was under the gold standard. The BIS recommends what several academics have suggested by way of establishing a single international currency or perhaps moving to regional currency blocks such as the dollar, euro, or the yen. This is the first time, she says, I've ever seen the renminbi and yen tied together. What it indicates is that the Chinese renminbi appears to be overtaking the yen. A year ago, U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Dr. Paul Volcker told News with Views, quote, a new mechanism was needed for the world financial system, unquote, and that, quote, in a globalized world, we should have an international currency, unquote. In a world of floating currencies ruled by rich and powerful, we will always have external imbalances, thus creating an evolving system of global economic imbalances which lead to feudalism. Global feudalism is created as the rich and powerful continually skim off the top of the world's economic imbalances so as to even it out for them. And that's the point. That is the point for this global system. It is a socialist system designed to level the playing field and create what is supposed to be worldwide utopia. And in reality, it's just the opposite. It's communism, which has never been anything like utopia. Communism is pure hell. It would be better to die rather than to live under it. Thank you, folks, for being with us. God bless you. I'll be back Friday. Chris will be back tomorrow. God bless and good night.
Shadows are falling and I'm right out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave you, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Me in your heart for a while. When you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, keep me in your heart for a while.
Who are you? That is the question. And the name of the program. To learn what the question means and what the answers are, tune in every Sunday afternoon and Rice McLeod